It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Hard salami's okay, but it's not as good, right? Although, maybe if you're French vanilla, you'd be like hard salami.
You mean the best vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The real, delicious
the
vanilla?
The fake vanilla.
The creamy vanilla without sand and dirt in it?
It's Mike Shope.
I like that
sand
one.
Sand and dirt. The beans?
Yeah.
The
yes.
specks?
Yes.
Are the problem?
It's granular.
The actual
what
vanilla is? The absolute worst take you've ever had. Because it's on different levels of offensiveness.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
And the Bulldog.
Maybe when you first made the ice cream, they were interested in making it, I don't know, good, and added cream to it to make it creamy, like thus ice cream, not ice sand. Ice gravel.
People, what do we even do?
I mean, what are we talking about?
Help.
Police! Help! Police! Help!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hard-hitting stuff. I don't know which way I want to go here. Could you expect to hear such a conversation on Check the Mic with Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, or would they never? I mean, it's a lighthearted, fun. You guys, Sam, they branch out a little bit. I don't know if ice cream, you know, necessarily meets the standard, but I've enjoyed watching and listening to Sam and Steve, their new podcast, Check the Mic, 33rd Team. And Sam, I know you've been experimenting with facial hair of late.
Yeah, we've been doing Movember, I guess, raising money for charity for men's health. We went about it in different ways. We've each been doing it. We each have our own Movember page. Steve has done it the sort of traditional way where you clean shave and then grow a mustache from scratch. I already had a beard, so I decided that for every $100 we raised, I would simply shave down the beard to a further ridiculous iteration of mustache. And now, kind of running out of places to go because, you know, it's been getting smaller and I got a $400 donation in. I've no idea where to take it now.
You don't necessarily want to end up at just like a short mustache either, Sam, right? I mean, that's...
Well, there's the short mustache and, of course, there's the elephant in the room, which is the smallest mustache you can think
yes,
of.
Yes, yes.
Happened to be sported by a particularly unpleasant individual.
Yes, that's what
he was going for, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, right. Yeah,
are you counting the days to
don't
December?
End up there, right. Yeah.
Are you counting the days at this point?
No, I mean, you know, I have a fairly high threshold of self-confidence, delusional self-confidence and
right.
Lack of self-awareness, I guess. So I tend to forget it when I'm out in public until suddenly you realize, oh, yeah, I look ridiculous.
You know, speaking of that, I'll just say this quickly. Mike and I have been together for 21 years now.
Yep.
We pick football games every Friday, 4 pro games, 1 college game. And we used to keep track of the standings, but we used to have a stake. And the one year the stake was, we were doing the show at a salon, and I lost, and Mike was allowed to do whatever he wanted to my head. Basically, or have the people at the salon do whatever.
I didn't touch him.
He wanted to my head, and his choice was to shave me completely bald, except for like a dyed green tuft in the center of my head, like up near the front, so I looked like a rhino. And I had to keep that for, was it a week?
At least.
And we had shows on remote, and I mean, it was pretty terrible, Sam.
I'm sorry. If I didn't say it then, I'm sorry. Really.
But I know all about threshold of embarrassment and yes. You know, ridiculous, unfounded self-confidence.
Hair related.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like it still could have been worse, you know? It's not the worst thing he could have done to you.
Yeah, the year I lost, I had to eat. They got to decide what combination of food I had to eat. It was grape nuts, molasses, and something worse.
Anchovies. Yeah.
I mean, just...
He couldn't do it. And we let him off the hook.
Yeah. I ate some of it. All right. So, hey, thanks for being on, Sam. We've enjoyed having you on. And we'll
good luck
talk
with everything. Happy Thanksgiving.
a couple of things that have come up on our show today in the wake of the Bills' win over Kansas City. Here they sit at 9-2. And... really, this was not a year, I think, where a lot of people expected quite this. Division favorite, but now they're really in play for the one seed in the conference. And we're also talking, Sam, like, if it's not going to be their year in the AFC, whose is it? What are your feelings about the Bills' chances?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've shown that they're right in there in the thick of it with anybody. I mean, Kansas City, obviously, was the team to beat in the AFC and was the last undefeated team, but they had been riding their luck literally from week one all the way through, they hadn't been, you know, destroying teams, looking like the most dominant team in the NFL. They were due a loss. And, okay, it was probably going to take a pretty good team to beat them. But Buffalo were impressive in doing it and showed that, you know, they're not going to be terrified of playing Kansas City in the postseason. They're equipped to do it. It might not happen because the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're really good. They have Patrick Mahomes. They have Andy Reid. You know, they're still going to be a force, but Buffalo's one of the teams that can beat them in January football. And, you know, they're one of the teams, I think, that are genuine Super Bowl contenders.
Do you think that this year, maybe with the Bills, I'm thinking about this specifically, Sam, is a case where a team maybe starts out the year and they become something else as the year goes on? Like, the Bills started out well enough, 3-0, but the offense was kind of like, I don't know, they scored some points, but the passing game wasn't quite clicking. They didn't have a number one guy. The mantra here was everybody eats, and it wasn't really clicking that much. Lost a couple of games. Then Amari Cooper shows up, and I feel like this team could look wildly different in January than it did in, say, October.
Yeah, I mean, I think Amari Cooper was a big pickup. He, you know, we talked in the offseason about the concern about that Bills receiving core on paper is they're missing a skill set. You know, once they trade away Stephon Diggs, there's nobody there that can just be plugged straight in, play that X receiver spot on the outside and consistently win those one-on-one matchups. And, you know, we were wondering, what were they going to do to try and fix that? Were they going to just shoehorn Keon Coleman in there and hope he can do it? You know, how is it going to work? This answers that question. They don't need anybody else now because Amari Cooper can do that. And now he might not be as good as some other receivers. He might not be a dominant force all the time, but he adds that skill set to the depth chart. And then you have way more flexibility with the other guys that they have. And it's just, they have more ways to win than they did before they bring him over. So I think that was a really shrewd acquisition, and it does give them extra strings to their bow once they hit January football.
How about Khalil Shakir in this offense, Sam? I'm not sure if he's necessarily underrated anymore. Guy's been very consistent, catches almost everything, doesn't seem to be too relevant in the red zone or anything. He doesn't have touchdowns to show for his season. Is he, like, what's the word for him? Is he somebody to take, you know, is he dangerous in a playoff chase? Is he somebody that might get overlooked?
I don't know if they'll overlook him, but he's a really important part of that team. He's incredibly dangerous after the catch. He's right. Efficient. He's extremely reliable. I mean, he's an important part of an offense that needs to be able to move the ball in the postseason. And while, you know, Amari Cooper might be the guy that you go to for the deep strike down the field, or you know, Keon Coleman is a contested catch guy, Khalil Shakir is the guy, a big part of what's going to be moving the chains. The run game, Khalil Shakir, Josh Allen, like, those are the sort of the spine of this offense that's going to keep the ball moving. And then the other guys are the guys that chip in for the explosive plays that potentially takes them over the top.
Are there a lot of people in your world, Sam, who are sort of sitting back with their arms folded going, see, I told you about Shakir? I feel like he always had his fans within the scouting and analytical community, and I feel like you might have been one from when you joined us when he was first drafted. But I'm just curious if a lot of people are, I don't want to say taking a victory lap, but for a fifth-round pick, he's really been a valuable piece for them.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of people that liked Khalil Shakir at draft time. I feel like this happens every year, though, where there are some players that everybody just loves in the mid rounds, and most of them probably don't work out, but the ones that do, you know, everyone feels really good about and was like, I don't know how everybody missed it. It was obvious. Like, this guy was a star. And, you know, Shakir, I think, fits that role. He was really good in college, and the tape looked like he was going to be a productive player at the next level. It took him a little bit of time. Maybe more, that was more Buffalo just sort of giving him the opportunity than it was him needing to adjust or needing to develop his game before he was good enough at this level. But it looks like the same player. I mean, he's a high-end playmaker for this team. A guy that I think a lot of people are happy seeing work out that way.
Tyrone Tracy might be one of these guys this year, where all the running backs and the receivers that were drafted, but like here's one, yep. to Sam's point, late in the fifth round for the Giants.
Sam, obviously the Bills have been without Keon Coleman for a couple of weeks now, and you know, I don't know what the timeline is. He never went to IR, so hopefully, you know, coming out of the bye here, maybe he can come back or soon thereafter. And, you know, that's another player that was somewhat polarizing at draft time. And, boy, he started to show some real signs of progress before he got hurt, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a talented player who has the ability to be a kind of big playmaker for the team. He's a little bit like George Pickens, where separation is not his thing, but he might be good enough at the contested catch stuff to make up for that and to still be a really reliable deep target or big play threat because of that. And you know, you can do the contested catch stuff in the red zone as well. It might have been the week before he got hurt, but there was a sequence where it sort of shows the problem with that type of player, though, where they were down in the red zone. They took one shot at him. He wasn't able to come down with the contested catch. And then they went at him again, and the second one he was able to catch was a much more difficult catch than the first one was. And that's kind of what his season has been. He's at like 42% in terms of contested catches. And, you know, you're basically talking about it's a 50-50 shot if you throw him the mm-hmm. ball. And Allen is a good quarterback for a guy like that because he's willing to give those guys a shot. He's willing to put the ball into tight windows and just hope his guy will make the play. But that's the issue with those receivers is that you're working on a 50-50 basis that they're going to come down with those contested targets. And sometimes that'll go your way and you'll get a couple of them in a game and they could be big high leverage plays or touchdowns. But if a couple of them swing against you, then suddenly it's a big lost opportunity in a single game, and that can be a problem.
With Sam Monson, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. So the Bills, by beating Kansas City, have put themselves squarely in the race for the one seed. They're a half game apart. They'll have the tiebreaker if it ends up being a two-team tie. What about the Chiefs? The whole season, and this is reminiscent of last year, but their record wasn't as good last year. You kind of wonder if they really do have another gear. And for me, it's been too long, Sam. I mean, I know what happened in the postseason, but it's not like they were smoking, you know, good teams, but teams in the playoffs either. They got through it. Must be nice. Do you feel like there's another gear with the Chiefs, or are we at a point yet where this is kind of just who they are?
So I think they can get a little bit better. You know, they're close to a few big plays with Xavier Worthy over the last few weeks. Those guys have not been able to get it right, but they're very close to. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, can definitely make a big impact on this team as they integrate him into the offense a little bit more. So I think there is a higher ceiling than we've seen so far over the course of this year. I think generally this is they're not going to go back to, you know, they're not going to flip a switch and suddenly it's the Tyreek Hill era offense where they were just high octane, you know, insane points, could score at will very quickly. It's not going to go back to that overnight, but I think they could have a potentially higher ceiling than they've shown on offense so far. Their defense is really, really good, and that's really the thing that leads this team right now. But I also wouldn't be quick to dismiss what they can do in the postseason in terms of just willing themselves to be better. I mean, we've seen that now for a few years from Mahomes and Kelce. Once those guys hit postseason football, they are able to play better consistently. And I don't know if that's repeatable for most players in the NFL, but I think we've seen it enough now from those two in particular to say that it is. And, you know, Mahomes played clean football even with basically a destroyed ankle where he couldn't move on it. There's not many quarterbacks in the NFL that can do that at all. So I think there's definitely a degree to which this team, sure, they'd like to be a dominant force in the regular season. They'd love to have the one seed. They'd love to be the best team in football unequivocally. But they also know as long as they just make it to January, that's when you really need to show up. That's when they need to make sure they don't play poorly. That's when they need to make sure that they play clean football, and they've been able to do that.
Sam, looking at the standings tells us the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Steelers are the top three teams in the conference. I think a lot of people think the Ravens are the third team in that top tier in the conference. We'll get to them, but the Steelers, like, where are you on them? The record's excellent, but is it sustainable? Like, are they a threat?
they're definitely a threat. I think that they have a lower ceiling on offense than the other teams we're talking about. Their defense is really, really good. They might have the best pass rush in the NFL, the best front four. That group is devastating when it's all healthy and on the field at the same time. So the defense is really, really good. Russell Wilson, I think, raises the ceiling of the offense relative to Justin Fields. He's willing to take more of those shots that we talked about with Josh Allen. That opens up George Pickens and what he can bring to the table a bit. The trade for Mike Williams, I think, will potentially make an impact down the stretch as well. He's the same type of vertical receiver that wins contested catches and doesn't necessarily separate. Again, a kind of Russell Wilson, a good combination with Russell Wilson. The run game has been pretty good. So I think they're good. I don't know that they're great. And I wonder what happens when they face a team, you know, in the playoffs. You know, if they run into a team where that team shows up with their best football as well, I think Pittsburgh's best might be below the best of some of these other contenders.
Let's get the Ravens in next then. Four losses now, and both these teams have a tough schedule remaining. You know, Baltimore's got at the Chargers Monday night. They have a Philadelphia game left, and Pittsburgh again, among others. It'll be interesting, Sam. I mean, if the consensus is that Baltimore is more dangerous, fine. I would say that, but I don't like them if they have to play three road games in the playoffs. Like, what happens in that division, I think, is super important to the AFC outlook. Do you?
Yeah, and they also have the opposite problem to Kansas City. They've been a different team in the postseason as well, but it's in the other direction. Their best play is amazing. I mean, they look like the best team in the NFL when they play at their best. We've seen that already this season against Buffalo. We've seen it against Cincinnati. They look unstoppable when their offense is on form. Their defense, I think.
Sam? All right, we'll try to get him back
see if we can't reconnect there. I feel like the Ravens with the four losses already, maybe they're having last year's Chiefs season. You know, like I still think they're not that anybody's saying different in this conversation or maybe a lot of places. Like, they're still a team that I'm really worried about. And maybe their best year, you know, will be a year like the Chiefs had the last two, where they're not quite on point. They lose games, you don't know why, but like they still managed to come through.
Sorry, Sam, we lost you mid Ravens.
Yeah, I was just saying, whoever makes the postseason from the AFC, they've got to go on this gauntlet of beating very good teams consecutively multiple times in the playoffs, and I don't know that the Ravens have shown that they can do that yet.
Mm-hmm. The depth of the conference, Chargers looking almost like locks to make the playoffs at this point, I might say, 7-3. Then you've got, it gets a little messy after that, I would say. How about L.A., and then is there a team below them in the standings that you think could make a run?
Yeah, the Chargers, I mean, they're playing perfect Jim Harbaugh football right now. Their defense is fantastic. It's really difficult to score against and move the ball against, even. And then Justin Herbert is the perfect kind of Jim Harbaugh quarterback. He doesn't put the ball in harm's way very often at all. We saw against the Bengals, he's capable of having insane runs of hot play as well, where he just puts the ball exactly where he wants it, throws that very few quarterbacks can make. I think they're definitely dangerous. They're not a team people are going to want to face in the playoffs. And then I think Denver could wrap up that seventh seed and go on a little run themselves. Another team whose defense is really good. But this combination now of Bo Nix and Sean Payton as the offensive mind is really coming into its own. They are efficiently moving the ball. They have been pretty productive. Bo Nix looks better and better, even as a rookie. Denver could be putting it together right now and wrapping up that seventh seed.
Houston's maybe in between these teams. I mean, they don't have to worry about the wild card mess. They're leading the South, and I'd expect them to win it. I mean, they don't have it sewn up, but they've already beaten Indy twice, and that's their closest pursuer. But are they, like, they got a lot of love in the summer, and I totally get it. They had a breakthrough year with a hot, you know, new quarterback and all that. I thought it was a little quick to say like they were in that top tier, and I think this year is sort of bearing that out. Do you think they still have are they dangerous to you, Houston?
I think they're definitely dangerous. It's sort of funny. The vibes for them are definitely not as good as their record, and really haven't been all the way through the season. Every time you kind of look at their record, you feel like it should be worse than it actually is. but they have won quite a lot of games already. They've been doing it with a lot of injuries and a lot of missed players and important players. I mean, Nico Collins was on his way to Offensive Player of the Year before he got hurt. Stephon Diggs, obviously, they traded for. He's done for the year. Joe Mixon has missed time. These are all the important players that are supposed to be the bedrock of that offense have not been there. The offensive line at times has been a real problem. It feels like the ceiling for this team is much higher than we've seen so far. And what we've seen so far has been good enough for, you know, 7 wins. They've been good enough to beat some good teams and look pretty good doing it. The defense is pretty good. The offense is pretty good. But I think both can be better by the time they actually, if everybody gets healthy.
You want to see them open it up more? I do. It seems like we've gotten, everybody sort of realized that Houston plays it pretty conservatively, run pass stuff. Is that still true? And do you think maybe they should be a little bit more pass happy?
Yeah, but I think a lot of that was trying to protect that offensive line and try and sort of hide the biggest weaknesses that they had.
Okay.
They've sort of shuffled a bit and changed personnel there, and I think have upgraded there. But, you know, there was a period where, I mean, against the Jets, like C.J. Stroud, whose question coming into the NFL was how well can he play outside of structure or under pressure, almost every single play was him trying to make a play outside of structure. And he's definitely been way better at that in the NFL than I think people thought he would be. You still don't want him living in that world. He's not that type of quarterback. You want him to be an in-rhythm, within the structure of the offense, passer, and all that kind of requires, you know, the run game to work, everything to work in harmony. And none of that was happening while the offensive line was a wreck and while Joe Mixon was hurt. So I don't know that opening it up necessarily is what they need to do, but I think they do need to kind of get everything back, the fundamentals back working, so that they can then pass the ball a little bit more readily without it being chaotic.
Sam Monson, the Check the Mic podcast with Steve Palazzolo at Sam Monson NFL to follow Sam and also to donate to his Movember campaign. Donations available through a link right there on his pinned tweet. Thank you as always, Sam. Happy Thanksgiving.
Anytime. Thanks. You too, guys.
Thank you. That's my first happy Thanksgiving of the year. Probably won't talk to him again before then.
I think that's very, very unlikely that we would talk to him again.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Call him tomorrow. See if he's available for another 20 minutes.
I think I squeezed a happy Thanksgiving in there somewhere, too. It wasn't like necessarily direct like that, a parting, but I think we got two happy Thanksgivings in there.
When was that?
I don't know. Somewhere in the course of the conversation, I squeezed in something about Thanksgiving. I don't remember exactly what.
Right then with Sam?
Not just right. Yeah, like during the 20 minutes that we were talking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that. I must have been doing a crossword puzzle or something when you were doing that.
You were thinking of how to piggyback on my very insightful, intelligent question.
Right. That's definitely what I was doing. You're right. Okay. Got a Bills trivia question for you, by the way, coming up. You like those?
Sure. I remember what it was now. It was when we were fooling around at the beginning and you were like, and you said, okay, Sam, thanks for being on. I'm like, yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, right. Right. 803-0550 is the number. Is this going to be the Bills' year? How do you feel about that after Sunday? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. The Sabres are in L.A. That's a 9:30 pregame show tonight here on WGR.